Well, we started a series for the summer on being a disciple and making disciples, and we've had some excellent messages the last few services on Sunday, last Sunday, and this last Wednesday, and encourage you to go to the podcast or go to the archive for live streaming and watch those messages. Really good, practical things. Last Sunday, Susie started with the culture of discipleship, and that's what we desire and want here at Good News Church, and you get what you preach. And so that will be happening in a greater way here. So let's turn to Matthew 28. This is the verse that my wife Susie started with last week. Let's go there, Matthew 28. Anybody know what's found in Matthew 28 that's important? Great Commission. Everybody say that. Great Commission.
Great Commission.
Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." And we'll just stop right there. So this is part of the Great Commission. And this is not, an option here. This is a command of Jesus. And this not just for those disciples back then. This is for the church today. It is not just for church leaders and those in the ministry, full-time ministry. This is for every believer. This is our commission. And I think a lot of Christians in the world, a lot of believers, don't have a real understanding that this Great Commission is for me. That I'm to make disciples. And this is a command. Again, not an option to do this. And there's two parts to making disciples, and we need to be skilled in both. The first is be able to minister to someone, life. Get them saved, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, minister healing, be able to pray for them and their needs. That's one part. Then the second thing is more of that's maybe short term. Long term is we have these relationships. I want to call them word relationships. Based on the word with people, helping people grow. Iron sharpens iron. Where you're being intentional in meeting with people, and both parties are growing in the word. Now, we're going to have probably a lot of definitions of the word disciple. I'm going to give you one I just wrote down this weekend. A disciple, this is a person who follows and learns from the master. Who's the master? He follows and learns from the master to think, speak, and act like the master. You catch that? To think, to speak, and to act like Jesus. But then you just don't stop there. And to model and teach others to do the same. That's basically what a disciple is. And I like what Susie did last Sunday. Made a distinction between a believer and a disciple. Just because you're a believer, that doesn't make you a disciple. We want to raise up disciples here that not only follow and act on the word for themselves and know how to apply it in their lives, but want to help others do the same. Luke 6, verse 40 says this, and this just highlights what I was sharing in my definition of a disciple. New Living Translation says this, "Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher." So when you're trained, you'll become like Jesus. Now let's go back to Matthew 28, and I want to read this in the Message translation. Matthew 28, verse 18. I like to use a lot of different translations. My main study Bible is New King James. I've never been a big King James person. I know some are raised on that. That's what you use, and you've memorized your scriptures. But I when I got saved, I started using the New King James Bible. But I use a lot of different translations in my study. And I like to use them during my sermons if I can. If I can put them up on the screen, because it might just shake your thinking, because you're used to some scriptures you kind of just glaze over when it comes up. So I do that to challenge your thinking a little bit. But Matthew 28, verse 18 in the Message says this, "Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. So there's three things here in this great commission that Jesus did. First of all, he assured them of his power. God gave him a power in heaven and on earth, gave him authority. So he assured them of his power. Then he gave them a commission and then authorized them to use the power. So he's delegated that power that God gave him, he's delegated that to his body, the church. Everybody say, we have power. We have authority in the name of Jesus. And the third thing, which is a great part of the Great Commission, he promised them his presence. We are not alone in making disciples. We are not. His Spirit is with us. He is involved with us. And it says here, to the end of the age. So we can read about discipleship. We can talk about it, study it, but it's not going to do us any good if he doesn't empower us and help us in the process. So that's something for all of us to know. He's going to help us. That's good news. But I've got some questions for you about Matthew 28 and about making disciples. What are you using to train people? What are you using to train people? And in this way of life, where are you finding this information? What are you instructing people to practice? What commands are we teaching people to obey? We are not going to be a good disciple who makes disciples if we're not skilled in the Word of God. True? We're not going to be a good disciple. We're not going to be good at making disciples if we're not skilled in the Word of God. And the Word of God is critical in the process of making disciples. Now, they even had a revelation of this in the Old Testament. Let me read for you Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, and I'm going to read it in the Message translation again. And this is a great verse for parents, or a great verse for grandparents, or anybody that's got influence over young people. This is a great verse. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, Message says this: place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. We wonder about Abraham and how God chose Abraham, to have a covenant with him in the Old Testament. And one of the things about Abraham that God loved is that he was a man who would train his children. That's very important to God, to train and teach your children, not just how to swim, how to use tools, how to cook, those are all good things, but training in the Word, training in His ways. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at your home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts and gates of your cities so that you'll live a long time and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is a sky over the earth. So discipleship should begin in the home. God intended for us to our homes to be a place where the Word of God is studied, where the Word of God is practiced, where the Word of God is talked about, where the Word of God is important. And parents and grandparents should be looking, teachers should be looking for opportunities to talk about the Word of God with our children. And there's so many opportunities. And if you want to do a Bible study or have devotion, that's fine. But that's not really what this is talking about. This is talking about your day, as you're going about your day, as you're interacting. And there's so much from the Word to talk about. We've got healing. We've got provision. We've got, freedom from fear. Reconciliation, love, peace, forgiveness, the power of our words. Righteousness, who we are in Christ. All these things to share, but yet we fill it up with so much other things that really don't matter. And the things that we talk about. And I got a really good suggestion for families. Instead of gnawing and chewing on people and gossiping about people, why don't you take that time to talk about the Word? Turn to your neighbor and say, ouch! Ooh! Because that gossip and vain babbling and really a lot of things that we talk about that are meaningless isn't producing anything. And I'm not saying force the Word down people's throats. That doesn't work. But this Word is alive and full of power. And it should be in us, and we should be so full of it that we just can't help ourselves talking about it. And kids and young people are impressionable. They're watching you. They're listening to you. You're doing some kind of training, whether you know it or not. Training is happening. They're watching you. And in Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, imitate your father as dear children. And see, they're imitating you. And what is it you want them to imitate? Everybody say, praise God, I'm so glad I'm here today. Now, did you mean that? Or are you just... Parents, you can't live off the revelation that you got 10 years ago. Faith is now. If you're not currently putting the Word in your heart, you're not going to like this. You probably shouldn't even come to church today. See, when you're at home with live streaming, you can kind of walk out of the room in different parts of the message. If you're not currently putting the Word into your heart, it's not coming out of your mouth in your conversation. See, it's not something forced. It's just a flow. It's coming out of you because it's in you, because it's important to you and you value it and it's on your mind and it flows out in conversation. You just can't help it. You almost have to work to keep it from coming out. Now let's look over in John. Let's just move on, okay? Thank God. Let's move on. John chapter 8, verse 31, Amplified, says this. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples. Do you want to be a disciple today? Do you want to be more than just a believer? Do you want to be more than just a person that follows a moral code? Do you want to be just someone that just, more than just coming to church on Sunday and marking that box off? Do you want to be a disciple today? Do you want to be a true disciple today? Then the Word has got to be in a prominent place in your heart. And you will know the truth. It doesn't just say if you hear the truth, right? It doesn't just come by you sitting here and hearing a good message. Well, wasn't that good? You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And to actually know and understand, that's going to take some effort. That's going to take something on your part to hear it, to meditate on it, to get it into your heart, to understand it, to apply it in your life. That's just something different than hearing messages. So it doesn't just say just hearing. It says to know it and to understand it. And we should make up our minds, every one of us, whether you've just gotten saved and you're just new to this, you should make up your mind today, I am going to be a disciple. And if I'm going to be a disciple, and then with the intention of one day, I may not be ready today, one day I'm going to teach and mentor and help others be a disciple. Make that decision, even if you feel like you're so far away. But it starts with a willingness and an openness to God, and then a willingness to obey His commands. I am a disciple maker. I am a disciple. And if I am a disciple, then that means His Word is going to be a preeminence in my life. And so that I know it, I study it, I speak it, I think about it, I understand it. And those things that I'm doing, the Bible says, it will set you free. Set you free from the devil's bondage. Set you free from the power of sin and its punishment. Set you free from lack. God wants us to be free. And it's not about living in a country that's free. It's about being free in Christ. You can be in prison, in a natural prison, and be more free than people that are living in the U.S. walking around. Freedom is not out here. Freedom is in here. And freedom comes from the Word. Amen, O me, or so me, or something. John 15. Let's turn there, John 15. Verse 1. I'll read this from the New Living. Just going to try to get all the translations in today. I am the true grapevine. Now, if you actually have a Bible still, in book form, that will be in red. I don't know. Sometimes online, it's not always in red. So if it's in red, what does that mean? So who is the true grapevine? Okay. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. See, it's about a relationship. It's about being in Christ. And one of the ways that we're in Jesus is through His Word. Jesus and His Word are one. You're reading the Word. I mean, you're fellowship with Him. You're learning about Him. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone. We don't live by just natural food, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live with the Word. Remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those in who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. So such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. You know, in these verses, God wants us to bear fruit. A disciple, a follower of Christ, bears fruit. And what is fruit? Fruit is impacting your world for Jesus. Fruit is the people that you come in contact, including your family and neighbors and friends. You touch them with the love of God. And we bear fruit. I mean, Vanessa, I mean, it's just, she's just gotten stirred up so much so, she had to buy a ticket to go to another nation and minister to some people there. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. But we can go to our neighbor right now. Maybe one day God will have you do that. Maybe you don't have the resources to do that. But that starts, and she's done that, that starts with your neighbor. That starts with your coworkers. That starts with people at school. That starts with people in your world. And there's going to be opportunities, I'm telling you, because I know about God and He opens up doors. People will just set you up for the Word. But if we're not listening, if we're not open, we're not going to be ready. But every day in our lives, there's people, they're just crying out. They're desperate for Jesus. They may not know that's what it is, but they're going to say things to you that will open the door for you to share the Word. And you don't have to come down like a hammer and beat them up and condemn them. Again, it's speaking the truth in love. I mean, we all understand what it's like to be lost. We understand what it's like to be in bondage. And we want to help people become free. And the Spirit of God will work with you. But you've got to be willing and open to work with Him. He will give you the words to say to people. But what is the best way to abide in Him? Verse 7. All the rest of the verses were about abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine. How do we do that? Verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. All right, I'm just going to be so practical. Probably some of you can't stand it at this point. But anyway, I'm going to be just really practical. How did I start studying the Word? I have my, it's actually my third Bible that I ever purchased right here. My first Bible was the St. Joseph's edition, Catholic Bible. It was something we had required for our classes in the high school that I went to. I went to a Catholic, all-male, military high school run by Christian brothers and nuns. That's why I'm the way I am. You have no idea. So my first Bible was the St. Joseph's edition. That's the one I carried around at St. Cloud State when I first got saved. But frankly, it just got so heavy in my backpack, although I'd never used a backpack. It just was so heavy to carry around, I had to get something lighter. So I got a Bible just like this, New King James Version. And it's got some good study notes in it. And it was just like this, and I put little tabs on it. And I marked that thing up. I wrote notes in there. And Susie mentioned stickers.
Stickers.
Here's some of the stickers. What's he talking about? I don't care. Anyway. I marked it up. But I was doing a meeting, and I was at ORU doing a meeting in Missouri with our group called SOS, Serving Our Savior. We were a powerful group. And there was a guy that saw my Bible, and he saw the notes in there, and he said, "I really like that," and I gave it to him. I hope he did something with it. But so I got another one just like it and began to mark it up. But what I did with that first Bible is I just started reading in the book of Matthew. I just started reading the book of Matthew, had no training, nobody telling me what to do, nobody coaching me, nobody mentoring me. I just felt impressed to start in the book of Matthew. And I read the introduction to the chapter. I even marked notes on it. You know what I'm talking about? Where it talks about, who wrote the book, where it was written, all the different things. I mean, this is the opening of the New Testament right here. Notes written down. This is the beginning of the book of Matthew right here. It's all falling apart here. Do you have one of these Bibles? You have one like this? Oh, it's going to fall over here. I just rip that part out. I don't like this part, so I'm just taking it out. I've got things underlined in the notes. And what would I underline? Things that would minister to me, strike me, hit me, you know, meant something to me. I'd underline it. Then when I come back to it, I would star it. When I come back to it again, then I circle it. I come back to it again, then I'm going to highlight it. And then I'll come back to it again, I'm going to underline it again, but bolder. That's how I studied the Word. Started reading the book of Matthew, and I just started looking for things that meant something to me, that spoke to me, that I'm looking for commands, things I could do, things I could confess, learning about, you know, my inheritance, what I have, what I can do, my authority, who I am, my identity. And I wasn't so concerned about what I didn't understand. I think that's a problem for people, is they read things, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, so they kind of stop, they get frustrated. I don't know, I never got hung up on that. I read it, and I said, that looks great, I don't understand it at this point, I'm just going to move on. Because there's a whole lot of things I can't understand. And like Susie mentioned last week, I was looking for things that I could act upon. That's the key to being a disciple. It's not about how much you know. It's what you do with what you know. And I mean this sincerely. It would be better to have 10 verses that you're acting upon than memorizing 1,000 verses. It's all in acting upon it and doing it. And so then I went through the New Testament, and then I decided, you know what I'll do? I'll go back through it again. And I went through it another time, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back through it again. And then maybe the fourth or fifth time of doing that, then I went to the Old Testament and read it through. But I recommend the New Testament starting there before you dive into the Old Testament. Now, I did do this. I did read a psalm and a proverb every day. Got most of that marked up. And you know, there's chapters in here, especially the book of Ephesians. I mean, you should have that Bible that's got oil marks on there. You know what I'm talking about? Oil marks? What's the oil marks from? It's from your fingers. Your thumbs. And your thumbs. So, if you don't have a Bible like this, I challenge you today to start and have your own Bible like this. Now, I know it's hard with the online things, and I'm all for online. I use the iPad to preach with and study and all that. But let's go back to getting our Bibles at home, and let's start marking in them again. Let's start writing things down. Let's get back to the basics. You know, we say we're word people, but are we really word people? Because other people, not just your life, other people's lives are depending on your study. We have to have something to offer people. And you know, and it's funny because what I would do early on, like those things I didn't understand, 9 times out of 10, I'm serious about this, I would write down a question that I had that I didn't understand. It would be answered in a sermon, in a book, or something else that I was studying. And if it was maybe a hard question, then I'd go ask somebody that knew about it. When I got saved, I had people in my life, I know it's a new day, I know, you know, we're so isolated from each other, so busy, but I had people in my life that I could talk the Word with. I call them word relationships. I can to this day see myself sitting with my brother Pat. We got saved on the same day. He's 15 months older than me. I can see us sitting at Perkins. That's the Northern Waffle House. It's called Perkins. I don't know if you're reading there. A little nicer Waffle House. I can remember sitting there at 1 o'clock in the morning after our day, all the things we have done, sitting there talking about the Word. I can see it right now. And if you don't have someone in your life that like that right now, then you ask God for it. You pray about that. God will bring you that person. He wants that for you. I mean, you can get together and read the Word. You can listen to the Word now on audio for free. We've got all these messages on YouTube, all the kind of books. There's really no excuse, but I kind of feel like in today's world, there's people reading the Word less than ever. With all the tools in the world for us to grow. And it's just a plan of the enemy, and I'll give you the main reason coming up why that is. Then, what you can do when you get more advanced, then you can get you a notebook. Now, this is a more expensive notebook. This is about $25. Matt, pastor's going to spend $25 for a notebook. Well, there's some pretty important things in there for me. I'm making a statement. You don't have to do that. But to me, and so I got 12, 13 of these filled up to the full. From study, from sermons. Bunch of legal pads all filled up. This week, my last notes here are from the book of Acts. Acts 1, just writing down notes. Things the Lord's speaking to me. Acts 1, Acts 2. Oh, a whole bunch from Acts 2. That's just from Nate, that's from Acts 2 right there. Acts 3. Duh. Acts 3 was big too. All of this, Acts 3. You ought to read that chapter. He's going to speak to you. He wants to get revelation to you. You want to be a disciple? Disciple is a word person. Someone who studies it, thinks about it, speaks it. And frankly, I mean, I know there's a lot of things happening, but, you know, I just really can't help you with any excuses. I can't. And I know your life is tough. My life is tough. You got trials. You got things going on. But if you want freedom, that's not the only thing. But if you want freedom, it's going to be found in the Word. If you're wanting help and strength, it's going to be found in the Word. If you're wanting peace, that's going to be found in the Word. So you really can't lose here. Now, I'm not recommending any amount of time, whatever could fit with your schedule. But I'm telling you, 10 minutes is better than no minutes. If you can do an hour, great. That would be awesome. An hour is really good. A lot can happen in an hour. But we have just gotten so busy. We've taken God out of our schedule. And really, the most important things, we've just taken it out of our schedule. And then we wonder why we get weary. And we wonder where the power has gone. And we wonder where the fruit has gone. Where's the fruit? And we haven't correlated it with maybe some minutes with God every day. We're talking about things every day. We're thinking about things every day. We're living our lives. But what's it all about? What is most important? Is it most important for you to know all the stats of the Cavs and the Warriors? Oh, this is not good right here. Is LeBron more important than Jesus? Steph? Is Steph someone I'm going to lay down my life for and follow? I mean, I hear he's a Spirit-filled believer. That's great. But, I mean, I'm not following the writings of Steph Curry. I mean, he shoots a great three-pointer. You can check my heart rate. says blank. I'm preaching so good, it's zero. Man, I am for you. I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm on your side. I'm just trying to help today. And he's going to help us. But you've got to give him something to work with. The answers aren't going to be found in the sitcom. The answers aren't going to be found in a soap opera. The answer's not going to be found in the newspaper. It's not going to be found in Sports Illustrated. It's not going to be found in all these things. And yet that's just filling up so much of our time. And I'm not saying these are, evil or bad things. But none of them produce freedom. None of us produce life and strength and health. And so I want to encourage us. Let's get back to the Word. Last point of that part is, and again, God will help you with this, have people in your life you can talk about the Word of God with. And if you have to Skype with them on the other side of the world, do that. So what's happened with our love for the Word? Well, let's look at Mark 4 real fast. I've read this a lot over the last year or so, but let's read it again. Mark 4, verse 19, amplified. And just between you and God, I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your home. I mean, I look at you and I'm around you at church or different times and talk to you. You seem to be saying the right things. I don't know your heart. But look at Mark 4, verse 19, amplified. It says this. Then the cares, it's talking about the Word being sown on people's hearts. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. That's really probably the biggest thing. So many distractions. Distracted about this, distracted about that, distracted about celebrities. Who cares what so-and-so awarded the Grammys? I mean, come on. The cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. And the craving and passion and desire for other things. And that's probably what it comes down to. It's just other things are more important. Other things. What are those other things for you? And before you realize it, they creep in and choke and suffocate the Word. And when the Word is suffocated, it becomes fruitless. How's it going with the fruit bearing? You guys bearing fruit? How about this section over here? Guys, are we bearing fruit? Bearing fruit for the kingdom? How's it going, Martha? Are you bearing fruit? Everybody shaking their head. We're doing good. Bearing fruit for the kingdom? Do you even want me to come over here? How's it going over here? Bearing fruit? Touching people with the gospel? Sharing what's in your heart, helping people, helping others. You got some good Word relationships. Some people you're talking the Word with, sharpening each other. We need that. God's got them for us. But there's got to be a willingness. And I'm not, I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I tell you what, the Holy Spirit can convict. And if He's convicting today, don't just walk away and say, well, that was good, and don't do anything about it. If He's convicting, act upon it today. Don't wait till the end of this day. Act today. Make a note, write something down. What are you going to do today? This is what I want here at Good News Church. This is what I'm believing for. Verse 20. But I just hope we're not deceived in thinking we're verse 20 when we're really verse 19. That's deception. Verse 20. And those sowed on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Now, this is a good question right here. You don't want me to ask this question either. But are your glory days of walking with God and making disciples and being disciples, are those in your past? If they are in your past, then I wonder what's happening right now. We don't want to be our glory days to be in the past. I want you to bear fruit. Can you handle two more scriptures? 20 years ago, during this message, I would have had 20 scriptures. So now that I'm more mature and more developed, I only have 8. James 1, verse 22. These are some great verses. These are in my top 100 right here. Maybe top 200 verses right here. James 1, verse 22 says this: But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone who only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets. That's what I don't want you to do today. Don't forget this message. And forgets what he was like. Verse 25, I believe this is you. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. So I want to encourage you today. He's got blessings for you in your life of obedience. He's got blessings for you in your life of faithfulness. Good things are coming to your household. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't draw back. Keep moving forward. Good things are coming your way. Blessings are coming your way. Revelation is coming your way. Answers to your situation is coming your way. Provision is coming your way. Healing is coming your way. It's coming to your house. Get ready. And when we're ready, we're full of joy. When we're ready, we got praise on our lips. Enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but he was defeated 2,000 years ago. He's under our feet. Jesus defeated him. We are free from the bondage of the devil. We don't have to put up with his stuff anymore. God wants us to live in freedom. And you're going to be living in such freedom, people are going to come up and even ask you, what do you got? How are you doing this? And you're going to say, because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all on vacation today? Y'all excited? All right, last verse. And then to say all this, to say this about making disciples. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, message. So, my son. Isn't that cool? Paul had this intentional word relationship with Timothy. So much so that he called him my son. Isn't that awesome? Now, I'm not into all of this. There's like people calling me father and all that. We don't do that necessarily around here. But, I mean, this is kind of cool. He thinks so much of him. So, my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. And here's what we're doing now when we're making disciples. Pass on what you heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. I want you to be competent to be able to teach others. I want you to be able to teach kids. I want you to be teaching adults. I want you to be able competent to go to other nations. You know, we've got people in here that you've got so much word in you, you could be pastoring somewhere. You could go to other countries and help them. What you have, and you don't think you have anything, but you've got so much in you. But we just can't fall into the trap of the enemy right now. We gotta stir ourselves up. Come on, people. Come on. Come on. Who's with me today? Come on. We gotta stir ourselves up. We don't need to be complacent. We don't need to be drawn back. The glory days are not in the past. Our glory days are now and in the future. We're going to touch a lot of lives. We're going to reach nations with the gospel. We're going to empower people to give life. We're going to help people be able ministers. We're going to help you. But come on. Come on. Give me something to work with. Give me some willingness. Give me some openness to God. Stir yourself up. You've got to do that. I can't do it. I wish I could. Just push a button. Wouldn't that be awesome? But frankly, Frank, it's more exciting this way because this is a challenge. All these different people in here at different places, it's a challenge. I like a challenge. It's impossible. It's impossible in myself. And I've been doing this for 20 years. But I like it. I like a good challenge. So I'm pleading and I'm begging you today. Come on now. Let's get in this thing. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the Word. Let's get back to getting the Word preeminence. Let's start getting the Word on our mouths. And let's just take authority over the devil and send him right to hell. And let's not put up with living beneath where we're supposed to live. That's not who you are. Putting up with stuff, putting up with sickness, putting up with poverty, putting up with unforgiveness, putting up with not serving, putting up with not giving. All right, I need to turn this over to somebody. One of you be ready, because I don't even know how to end this thing here. You know? All right. Come on, Mike. Come on down, Mike Netzler. You're the grand prize winner today.
I'm not settling for nothing less than God's best. I'm not settling because I've settled for a long time. You know, when he's talking about discipleship, we met them here in this church when it was another church. I didn't know nothing. All I knew was I was saved. I didn't know anything about the Word. I never even got into the Word. I just depended on what I heard up here. And what I heard was defeat when I grew up. Always God's out to get you. He's out to get you because he wants to get stuff to you. He needs you. We got here. We hooked up with them. And man, I tell you what, I never looked forward to church when I was a kid. I had to go. My dad was assistant pastor. I could not wait to hook up with them on Wednesdays when we would meet at Eddie and Carol's house or their house, because God was just doing something inside of me. He was doing something inside of me. Stuff was happening. I'm not saying this to offend you, because in my world, hell is not a bad word. It's a bad place, and I don't want nobody to go there. But I was broke as hell when we got here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was broke as hell when we got here. Four kids, didn't know how we were going to feed them some days, let alone feed ourselves. We got hooked up with them, and we start seeing stuff happen. I mean, we got to the point, one time, we only had $100. And we're chasing somebody down from this church because somebody, God told us to give that $100 to them. We chase them down. We're wasting gas in my mind. We're driving around. We went three different places to get that money to them. We got it to them, man. You should have seen us. You'd have thought we won the lottery. We were hollering up and down. We were getting excited because we knew God was going to do something for us. Because he's not a liar. His word works. It works every time. It works every single time. You know what? I could say some things here because I'm not the pastor. And I'm sorry, I ain't trying to get you in trouble. But I can be a little harder. Y'all know, a lot of you know me for a long time. Man, I got some stuff in me. It needs to get out. I'm sitting back there, man, my legs are going, my feet are shaking. I'm like, man, I'm tired of sitting back here. And I got something to say. And sometimes I know, you know, I'm not a pastor. And I know you kind of sometimes got to be, you know, you got to be kind of careful. Because, you know, people going to get offended. I've been here 20 years. I don't know how many times I've been offended. I'm still here. It don't make no difference. Get over yourself. It ain't about you. It's about other people. It's about other people. We got a job here. The Great Commission isn't just some good story, a feel-good story. We got a job to do. Every day you go to your work, man, whatever it is, man, just be open to it. You know, I was talking with Tony yesterday. We both the same way in a lot of ways. You know, hey, so what if the bottled water thing wasn't your deal? It's all right. So what? I'm a good one-on-one person. Man, I'll listen. Some days I go into the store, I don't hear nothing. Other times, man, don't let that person go. Don't let that person go. Listen. But one of the biggest things, this discipling thing, was if they had not spent the time with us. This is before church even started. And then since we've been here, man, we get fed good every, I don't know what y'all think good and what that means, getting fed good, but we get fed good in this church. There's a night and day difference from how I grew up, and that's not trying to criticize some other denomination or anything. I never knew this stuff. And this stuff works. This word works. It's alive. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's no cliche. It's in the word. It's in the word. I mean, if there's somebody here, I'm telling you, if you will stay and you make the effort to come, you won't be the same, and your life won't be the same. It won't be the same. You know why? Because things don't have a choice but to change because of the word. They don't have a choice. They have to change. It has to change. It changed my life. It changed. I used to think when we left California to move out here, I was in a pathetic spiritual shape. And I just heard on the inside, come out here because I got something big for you. If you don't come out, you're going to miss it. We come out. I've never known lack like that in my life. Man, just like I told you, man, I was broke. And so we come out, and after a couple months or wherever being here, we meet Matt and Susie. And then we start going eventually start going to this class that they taught here. And I'm like, man, this guy's on to something here, man. He's working 50-plus hours at a job. He coming in here with all printed out forms and everything for us. I'm like, man, this guy's putting a lot of effort into this. And I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at the other people in there, and I'm like, man, is anybody thinking like I'm thinking? Because this ain't like, you know, they bought this stuff and brought it. This ain't like, you know, some pre-printed things. He did this on his own. And he's, and anybody that would take that kind of time, he's on to something. God's got, he's moving in him. And I saw, so I'm looking at it from that aspect. But at the same time, I'm reading this, man, I'm taking notes, I'm writing stuff, we're going home and we're practicing it. And I mean, man, you just get hungry for stuff. We're staying up till 12, you know, the kids are in bed, we're up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, listening to tapes, CDs. We're doing the same thing now. We're doing the same thing now. Because I used to think that the biggest thing God said we would miss out on was the Word, was missing this, and it was. But I didn't know all these years later that that same Word would be the very same thing that saved Clara's life. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And because of that, that's why she's here alive today. Because if this was 20 some odd years ago before we moved here, I tell you, she wouldn't be alive today. I didn't know any of this stuff. We weren't hooked up with people like that. Saved her life. God saved her life. And it's not just because he just wants to save her life. He's got a plan for her. He's got a plan for me. And the same thing for you. He's got the same thing for you. He has no plans for you to be broke, sick, in despair, brokenhearted, broke down, whatever you want to call it. That's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to have his best whole in every area of your life. You know, and this is coming from me, who this has been a hang up for me most of my life, has been the money area. Well, God, okay, if you call me to do something for you, how do I make money doing it? You know what? Just forget it. Just start taking a step towards something. Just do it. Do it. I mean, if he's calling, I'm not saying all of us are called in a fivefold. That's not it. I mean, if you are and you're called into some area to go. Just go ahead. Just trust him to do it. I mean, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to let you fall? And then what? You turn your back on him? No, he's not going to let you do that. He's not going to let that happen to you. He loves you. If you'll understand that he loves you, you won't ever hesitate to go back. There's nothing to go back to. Nothing to go back to. I don't want to go back to being broke and sick and all of the... No, I don't want that. I'm not settling for anything less than God's best. And his best is something different for each of us, because every one of us, it ain't some... Yes, he loves us all, and his desire is that all men become saved. But the fact is, he's got an individual plan, an individual way for each one of you. That's almost hard to imagine when you think of how many billions of people there are. He has an individual plan for you. So do, just like Pastor Matt said, I know it almost sounds too simple to even act on it. Get yourself a Bible. I have one, and my fault for not bringing it today, because I get kind of, I'll use my Bible version on the app too, but get a Bible. Get you some notepads. You don't have to have the fanciest one. Just get something, pencil, paper. Because you know what? When you go back, nothing brings more. There's no more. There's power in the Word. But when you wrote down the things that you get revelation on, man, those things start to grow on you on the inside. Man, I mean, cut off the TV, cut off whatever it is. You can make time. I mean, yeah, start out with just a few minutes. But I'll tell you what, if you'll make a commitment to it, you'll never be the same. You'll start seeing God do some stuff in your life. I mean, some miraculous things in your life. Because I keep thinking that's what I see in this church. Hey, look around. You know, you say, well, you know, whatever we got. I don't know, 100 plus people, whatever. It ain't about the numbers. We've been studying here all this time at this church because it's come to a point where not only are we going to see, we're seeing thousands of lives saved, but we're going to see a lot of miracles take place here in this church. We're going to see lives change for God's glory, because that's what it's about. That's what he wants. That's the fruit he wants. That's the fruit he desires. So when you go home today, just think about it for a while. Give it a minute. Don't, you know, I know we're all going to go off and go eat lunch, what have you. But think about it today and do what Pastor Matt said. Act on it. Act on what he tells you to do. Do something today towards that. Get your Bible out. Read a few verses, read a chapter, do something, but don't let today go by without acting on it. Because you know what? I'm sitting out there and I'm thinking this, and it's no offense, I've done it myself. How many of us are sitting out here? And it's easier to do when you're in the back rows. Believe me, I've done it. You on your cell phone? Man, I tell you what. If we were sitting over there at California Dreaming, right, you know, just down the street, and they're bringing out you a steak, you sure would you put that phone down in a heartbeat to go eat that steak? Put your phone down. Put your phone down. Because don't wait for tomorrow. Do something today. Do something today. Act on it today. Because God wants to do something for you today. And then to the point where not only does he do something for you, but he does something through you for somebody else. Because that's what it's really about. When I had to start using my faith just to meet my needs, that's all I focused on. But once we start getting past that, you start seeing your faith is for much bigger things. It's for other people. It's for getting the kingdom full of his people. You know, that's what he desires the most. And that's what he desires most from you, is for you to do it. So just go ahead and do it. Most of us, I mean, we've slacked off in some way. We all do that. Things get better, whatever the thing is. You kind of take your foot off the pedal. But I'm telling you, now's the time to put your foot to the pedal and just push a little harder. Go a little faster. Whatever it is. God told you something to do, even maybe years, months, days, whatever. Go. Just do it. It's never too late. I'm about to turn 55. I'm telling you what, I don't know what's next for me, but I know it's going to be good. I don't know what it is. I really believe he's got something for me he's wanted me to do for a long time, but I have held it down, I pushed it down because I was afraid to do it. But you know what? He's got something good for me and he's got something good for you. Just trust him. Trust him to do it. Trust him to do it. We serve a God that cares, loves for us, and he wants the best for us. Because if we don't get it, it's like he did it in vain for us. You don't really believe he did it. I believe it. I've seen it. And I've just seen a glimpse of it. Because we're going somewhere here. We're going somewhere here. I believe it. Amen.